maybe that someone is already sorting out the questions, but we need more questions for this evening's question and answer period. For boxes available, and as I say, please fill the box. And to repeat about the necessity of making a good confession during the spiritual exercises. The meditation is on faith, hope, and charity in the lay apostolate. I'll do first is read summarily what the Second Vatican Council says. The question reads, how are the virtues of faith, hope, and charity essential for the lay apostolate? Our condensed answer is, faith is essential because it provides a believing mind with an understanding of what God has revealed as a condition for human salvation. It's necessary in order to see everything in this life as a means for reaching eternal life. Charity is necessary in order to exercise that love of God and of our neighbor without which Christianity has no meaning. With this as an introduction, we now ask ourselves three questions about each of these three virtues. Are they? Why are they necessary in the apostolate, and how we are to cultivate these three virtues? First of all, faith is essential because it provides a believing mind with an understanding of what God has revealed as a condition for human salvation. The Church has infallibly defined faith. Faith, we are told, is the assent of the mind. Everything which God has revealed, what God has revealed is comprehended, but only on the authority of God, who can either deceive or be deceived. Faith is the assent of the mind to everything which God has revealed, not because the mind comprehends the truths revealed, but on the authority of God, who can either deceive or be deceived. My first 11 years of teaching my Jesuits their theology were teaching the theology of faith. Masses. 3 masses a week. 15 weeks. 15 weeks to each semester. We distinguish two kinds of faith: human faith and divine faith. Human faith is the essential gift to a human being. We believe by accepting what that person tells us is true. Every rational human being is a believer. the unbelievers are the totally and completely insane. Three. Now the one we call our mother is our mother. Really, what we were taught from childhood is the alphabet. We never buy an article in a store unless we believe that what we're being sold is what we thought you were buying. We sit down to a meal. We believe the food, well, is not just safe and not toxic, but nourishing. We're married unless she believes that the man she's marrying is the one, well, who she has come to think is the one who's told her about who he is. That's the verse. The universe. We watch it. Faith. It should be credible faith. In other words, there should be rational grounds for believing. The opposite word people would use and never give a second thought to. Many people's faith is not credible, but credulous. In other words, our mind should have rational ground for believing. Why accepting what somebody tells us is true? Faith should be conceived. Hence, I'm telling us what he has claimed to be true knows what he's talking about. Our faith must be credible in talking to the one who tells us that something is true. He is telling us the truth and is not deceiving us. Plain faith is our faith in God, the authority of God. He knows, being the all-wise God, he knows everything. And being the all-good God, he would never deceive. John's question, almost unanswerable. How is it that we who are so ready to believe in men are so slow to believe in God? What babes we PhDs can be, being human beings. 14 years in teaching in New York, on the way to my university classes. I don't see standing room only. Crowded, shoving, and just about everybody on the train. That's the deal. And can you imagine believing? We can do. If we're talking about, and the faith that the council is telling us is essential, is because it provides a believing mind with an understanding of what God has revealed as a condition for human salvation. None of us would know what we need to know to be saved, unless someone had communicated that knowledge to us. And as we've been saying, and we have a corresponding and shall I say consequent duty of now sharing this faith with others. On faith, no one will reach heaven. If you have a degree of that faith will depend, of course, on the opportunity that a person has for knowing and learning the true faith. For the Buddhists, for the Hindu, for the Jainists, for the Shintoists, you'll reach heaven only insofar as that person possesses some of the truth of God's revelation. I'm reading for more than 30 years why I have taught the non-Christian religions is because I've seen years of study and teaching, published 3 books in comparative religion. There's so much truth, of course, with a great deal of admixture of error, but truth in Hinduism, in Buddhism, and only because of that truth. Now, those who do not share our Christian faith can be saved. Only truth will save. Only truth is a channel of grace, king of life. On this first level, therefore, we are to be apostles. That's what this retreat is all about. And we have to re-Christianize or paganize America. And it is paganized. Evangelize our nation. Ourselves had better know what God has revealed. And you cannot be satisfied. I'll repeat that negative. We cannot be satisfied with our present knowledge of the faith we now have to be effective channels here of the grace of faith to others. Years of formal Catholic education is nothing compared to the ocean that I've never begun to master. The Vatican superiors tell me, and they mean it, most of your priests in the United States should be re-educated. They just do not know their faith. Amen. To start with you is when I'm sure, is already known to be the order of most of you. Our American seminaries, God knows how many, but many are simply not teaching what a safe state, the fullness of Christ's revealed truth. Now the faithful need to know, in order even to save and sanctify themselves, not to say survive in today's de-Christianized society. Somebody, somewhere, had better know the Catholic faith. What am I saying? I am saying that we all, beginning with myself and you, we all have the obligation to grow daily in our grasp of the faith that we profess. Years of my priesthood, there are certain passages of the Gospels that I have been repeating by now hundreds of times. One of these is the parable of the sower chapter 13 of Matthew's Gospel. All the Mass liturgy a few days ago, remember? So in Alpha Soviet Sea, all good sea, but not all good ground. There were three kinds of soil, no yield. And the first, fruitless soil, Christ in his parable tells us, was the seed that fell on the wayside, the hard walk down ground. The birds of the air came along, pecked up the seed, and had a feast. I was asked Jesus to explain, he told him. What else you remember from this retreat? Please remember this. Christ told him, they are the people, having received the word of God into their hearts. Those who understand it, comma, and therefore, the evil spirit came along and stole the word of God from their hearts. In my estimation, what preserves me to the 1st of September of this year, I would have been a member of the Society of Jesus, I again cannot believe it, 60 years. I entered on September the 1st, 19, is it possible, 36. What do you have learned? Most Catholics, as we casually and mistakenly say, give up their faith, have never understood it in the first place. We must understand what we believe. That means effort. That means reflection. That means reading. That means meditating, reflecting on the truths of our faith in order to have them penetrate the mind. Otherwise, as Christ warns us, the devil will come along and steal. And what a thief he is. Steal the word of God, sown in our hearts, but never understood. We must own our understanding of the faith, otherwise, don't you dare use the verb, lose it. Born from your hearts. Or as I stand with a bishop, the longest meal I've eaten in O'Hare Airport. He has given up his faith. Even in my prayers ever since. He never recovered it. And he told me he would be hard-stricken by the Skilovex, Carl Rahner. And the result was abandoned the faith. Thank God he left the Episcopal. As you see, I would like to spend, and I mean it, on this subject. And by the way, I have over the years given an 8-day retreat, 4 conferences a day, just on faith. Only to be growing our faith, first of all, we must live it. How pious we can be, first we can use what the faith. And God knows whether we're living it. What is your faith? I mean it. Have access to good, sound authors. tell me, some, their husbands, again ours, masquerade in front of a television set. Others, my husband is an avid reader, 3-4 hours reading. Where I get my subway train. Junk store, JUNQUE. I like that. Some years ago, I published a Kathy Lifetime Reading Plan. Some 5,000 of the outstanding books in my judgment, by Kathy authors over the centuries. The Great Book Program by Britannica. We Kathy should have. That's one reason I wrote the book. Have at least monthly meetings. Yeah. Your believing Catholic friends, choose beforehand the books you're going to discuss. Have the participants read beforehand. Have someone in charge of the meeting to grow in your understanding of your faith. How to grow in your faith? By witnessing to your faith. Talking about it. Sharing it with others. And this is where the media, though as Christ tells us, how the children of this world have outsmarted us 100.9% to 1/10%. And is taking a woman, Mother Angelica, with whom I worked from the beginning, the work that needs to be done. I don't see I have a fear. What word shall I use? While I'm sharing with you, will patiently listen, maybe take a note or two on Sunday. Let's see. Don't forget what Father Hardy told us about the faith. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, become apostles of the faith to others. Catholic Library, I know what I'm talking about. Spirit of sound, straight, orthodox, Catholic book. And virtue. Hope. Which tells us hope is necessary in order to see everything in this life as a means for reaching eternal life. God sends us trials for the best of reasons to give us the opportunity of growing in the virtue of hope. God wants us because He knows we need it. The eyes of our minds fixed on the horizon of eternity. Therefore, seeing everything in this life, and that's the language of our faith. Everything in this life has only as much value chance, it is a means of attaining eternal life. As we've said before and will repeat to the end of the retreat, two words that are not in God's vocabulary, chance and happen. Thanks be to God. Nothing ever happens. Everything is planned by Him. In order to enable us to use and then the levels. To do some homework. God puts pleasant things into our life. Thank God. But be sure you know what you're doing. Is everything pleasant? Everything sweet? Is everything that we like or naturally enjoy a means of reaching heaven? No! Whatever you do during these days of the retreat, in the name of our Lord, sift, select, choose all the present things in your life that God has given you, which are the ones that He wants you to enjoy. Not everything in our lives which is enjoyable is necessarily meant by God for me to be enjoyed. Otherwise, there would not, for example, be a sixth commandment. A copy may be very enjoyable. That's not the point. Of your wife. God puts into our lives, give us a chance to grow in our virtual hope, suffering, of love, consciously, deliberately. Does God want us to suffer? Yes. If suffering we define as that which is contrary to our will. Whatever we don't like, well, a good, ready-made definition of suffering. I've got to see God in that pain. And just because something is painful, if I'm to grow in my virtual home, I don't run away from it. There are things in my life that God wants me to get rid of, remove. And whatever you do during this retreat, in the name of God, please find out Christ, here in the Blessed Sacrament, ask, Lord, what do you want me to get rid of in my life? Together. And we must get rid of everything that our conscience, enlightened by our memory, tells us is an occasion of sin. And finally, what in my life does God want me to sacrifice? Not because it is sinful, but because it would be more pleasing to God if I gave it up. That is the virtue of hope, as we've just described it, with your eyes always on eternity. And my friends, you will be a possible hope to others. And yet, if I, by your example, know as we're saying, it's much deeper. Hopeful people are channels of grace for others to even retain, not to say grow, in the virtue of hope. Over the years of my priesthood, I've dealt with too many souls. I've given up. And especially my 5 years of the State University. One statistic the media will never publicize. The number of suicides among the young. He must always see everything in the light of eternity. But only then, and in the measure that we have that vision, will God use us as communicators of His grace of what our world, especially our America, most needs. People who have hope in God's love and not running away from the cross, but I mean it, embracing the cross. Only the virtue of charity. As the church tells us, charity is necessary for whom? For those who are going to be apostles to others. It is necessary in order to exercise that love of God and of our neighbor without which Christianity has no meaning. Love of God. Got to love God who makes demands on us. I've learned many things in my years in the priesthood. One thing I've learned and have shared with some of you from the top. There are two words that always go together, and they are love and pain. I really, really love someone only if I'm willing and ready to suffer. Like that person I claim to love, for that person, with that person, and the hardest preposition from the person that I love. Babes in the woods, we can be. We both the love of God and of our neighbor. And here too, all of them, people eventual apostles, we can be, provided we really love those lives we enter. I come back to my two monosyllables, love and pain. Folly. An unreal world we can be living in. As though, there can be sincere, honest to God love for someone, unless I am ready and willing to suffer, then I repeat my prepositions. For the one I claim to love, with the one I claim to love, like the one, but especially from the one I say I love. All of this is locked up in that simple word, which by now I'm sure we all know how to spell, apostolate. Given grace phenomenally by God, you're all highly gifted people. But Christ has so generously enriched others, like share with us. And has so enriched us, so we might pass on the riches to others. And the riches are measured, needless to say, indulges in sins. But in the possession of God's grace and here, in possessing the virtues, God Himself became man to give us. And it's here, more than anywhere else in our faith, that the Mother of Christ, who is the Mother of God, a great model, apostolate, as faith tells us, miraculously, a virginal conception. What she believed, the child she was carrying for 9 months in her womb was her Creator. Talk about faith. She knew her scriptures. She knew it, especially Isaiah, that foretold about the sufferings of the Messiah. And Simeon told her, a sword will pierce your heart. She knew exactly what he meant. And over the centuries, from the first century, Saturday has always been called Mary's Day. Our Lady alone never lost her trust that her son would rise from the dead. Tolerate. Only she conceived Jesus in her womb. The angel about her, kinswoman Elizabeth, conceiving a child she enrolled in and barren to begin with. Moses, she rose immediately and went in a hurry, that's new, to help her kinswoman. All we need to learn from Our Lady, the Queen of Apostles, what it means to have faith, hope, and charity. And then, in the degree that we share in Mary's deep faith, trustful hope, and absolutely selfless love, we have to make retreats. We will, I assure you, bring many souls back to God as they stray to the arms of God, including and especially those who are nearest and dearest to you, dear one of us. Mother of Jesus, Mother of the Holy Family, obtain for us what you so deeply possess and experience. He that never questions, always sees everything as coming from God. Obtain for us something of your deathless trust and your divine Son. Above all, dear Mother, obtain for us from Jesus that love for Him that you have, so that loving Him with our whole heart and love everyone, no matter how difficult or painful that person may be, of everyone in our lives, because we know it is the way, like you, we show you our hearts. Here. the Lord is with you. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Amen.
Pray for us sinners.